to the book. And we will read verses 3 and 4, and then verses 11 through 13. In our text this evening, verse 11 through 13. Hear now the word of the living God. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And then down in verse 11, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. We'll stop there with the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that you have given us your ruler, your standard, by which we can know truth and error. Lord, how we thank you that every word from your mouth is faithful and true and will stand forever. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us discernment, that, Lord, as we live in the midst of a culture where there are many voices crying out, follow me, follow me. We pray that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear only your voice. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have told us the truth. You have given not only your revealed will, the Holy Scriptures, but you, O living God, you are the one who comes and speaks this, the very word of your mouth, to our hearts. And so, Lord, attune our ears to hear only you, to turn our back on all other voices. And we make our prayer in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen. Well, we see in the book of Jude this call for God's people to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We see that in verse 3. That is the main thrust of this powerful portion of Scripture. Even though the book of Jude is one chapter long, it is a very powerful and important portion of Scripture. Just because it is one chapter long, we need to be very careful with these small books in the Bible, that we don't think that the length of the message correlates with the importance of what is written. All Scripture is necessary, useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, could be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We also have been struck with the fact that God has given to us a standard by which we can know whether a teacher is a faithful teacher or a false teacher. And I want to us look, first of all, at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, the false teachers who deny the message, at the heart of the message of Holy Scripture is the message about the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And the "us" there in verse 6 is the apostolic gospel that is inscripturated and recorded for us in Holy Scripture. Back in chapter 2 of 1 John, we read in verse 18, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. And therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." And so here is another passage where we see that there is a body of truth that God uses to speak his truth to our hearts. We also are reminded over in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 that the Lord Jesus, he talks about speaking to the hearts of his people. In John 10, he identifies himself as the good shepherd. And in the context of this passage, we read in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And so over and over in these verses, we see the Lord Jesus identifying himself as the good shepherd, and the good shepherd speaks his voice, and his sheep hear his voice, and we follow him. We will not follow the voice of a stranger. Well, that is the concern that Jude is addressing now. In his powerful little book, he says there is a need for God's people to understand clearly that the gospel that Jesus is and has revealed in Holy Scripture. You remember we've seen over and over this emphasis of Scripture is that you cannot, you dare not separate the living Word from the written Word. If you separate the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the written Word, the Holy Scriptures, you're going to end up with somebody other than the real Jesus. Because the real Jesus, the only Jesus who can save, reveals himself in Holy Scripture. He speaks this word to our hearts, and that's how we know his voice. So that's the first thing that Jude has emphasized. Now, the second thing that we see and have seen, and that's what this section in the book of Jude is highlighting, is what these false teachers produce. They claim that they're teachers from God, but they are fruitless. They're lifeless because they don't have Jesus. They don't have the truth in Jesus. And all the rest of the Scripture, if you do not see it leading you to Christ and your understanding of whatever particular portion of Scripture flowing out of Christ to walk with him and love him and serve him, then you have a barren existence. Because life is wrapped up in knowing the living Savior, the Lord Jesus. We'll just look at a couple of passages before we dig into the book of Jude. John 15. Here's a passage where the Lord Jesus tells us that those who really belong to him and know him bear fruit. Now, it's true, this side of heaven, our fruit is not perfect ever, and it's not in the quantity that we desire either. But nonetheless, one of the marks of a true child of God is that if we do have true saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will evidence itself. And so here in John 15, verses 1 and following, we read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Well, here again, we have a passage where we see this inseparable connection between the living word and the written word. Jesus up in verse 5, for example, he describes himself as the true vine, and whoever abides in me and I in him. And you'll notice in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Jesus, he says, the word that I have spoken to you, that's what gives you life. That's what makes you clean. And so here's a passage that shows this connection that Jude is concerned, not only that we understand the truth, but then that we have this saving union with Christ, and it is being evidenced. One last passage, Matthew chapter 7. And here the Lord Jesus in verse 15 calls God's people to beware of these false teachers. And he says, now here's one of the identifying marks of these false teachers. It is the fruit that they are bearing. And it is not the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruit of prayer and communion with God and praying according to the revealed will of God and God hearing and answering our prayers in accordance with Holy Scripture. It is not the fruit of God's people obeying the written word of God and bearing the fruit of loving one another. And so the Lord Jesus in verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, obviously, you have to be around a tree a little while to see what kind of fruit it bears. And so this is something that is used to identify. Notice verse 21. He goes on, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And so here, just because people talk religion, just because they might be able to do supernatural works, does not prove that they are from God. Here we have on the great day when the great and the small stand before the Lord, people are going to say, "Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong group over here. Jesus, you've got me in the group over here with the goats. I'm supposed to be over there with the sheep." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," and that is the confession of the Christian. Over in Romans chapter 10, we read in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, here Jesus says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the person who really does have saving union, the person who has true faith, it is faith alone that saves. That is the alone tool that joins us to Christ. But that fruit will be evidencing that it is genuine faith. And so here are people who say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" Here is this supernatural work of people speaking a word from Almighty God. Cast out demons in your name. Jesus doesn't deny that they did these things. Do mighty works in your name. Even a miracle wrought in the name of Jesus. Jesus does not deny that those things happened. But notice what he says in verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And so that now is what Jude is concerned to highlight in his message, calling God's people to contend earnestly for the faith, to be on guard that there would be even false teachers who would arise from their own midst. And so he's described what do these false teachers teach, where are they coming from, and what are they going to produce? What kind of fruit? And so we read in verse 11, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted." And so that's where we ended last time, which was several weeks ago. And we have this description in verse 12 and 13 of being in their presence, appearing to have a message of life, and yet here are these false teachers, and they're like hidden reefs at the love feast, when God's people would feast at the Lord's Supper, when they would have fellowship one with another, just throughout their everyday lives. Hidden reefs. People who are going to produce what? Disaster. Like a ship hitting a reef. It's a hidden thing. If the captain had seen it, he would have steered the ship in a different direction. As they feast with you without fear. They don't fear God. They don't care what they're going to do to God's people, taking them down together with them. Shepherds feeding themselves. Shepherds are supposed to feed the sheep good food. And the good food is Jesus himself revealed in Holy Scripture. But these false teachers are shepherds feeding themselves. They don't feed the sheep. The sheep are languishing. The sheep are wandering. Waterless clouds swept along by winds. Here's the picture. You see a cloud coming, you think what? Oh, it's going to rain. And that's, you know, not a disastrous thing if you're have had plenty of rain, but if it hasn't rained for a long time and you see a cloud, your hopes are all revived. You think, oh, finally, it's going to rain. But these are waterless clouds. Clouds are supposed to contain rain. But these false teachers, because they don't have Jesus and they don't tell people about the Jesus of the Bible, they have no life in them. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. What a picture of barrenness. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And so here we have a passage that describes for us living against God and having barrenness, sin, the guilt of sin, or having fellowship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of Christ living in our hearts and giving us a life in Jesus. Look at verse 16 and following. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then down in verse 7 of chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so here's this passage that describes for us the fruit that God says will be present and growing in the life of the child of God because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these false teachers, what do they have and what can they produce? They are fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. And you remember the Lord Jesus was passing by and he saw a fig tree. And it had no fruit on it. And that was striking because it was not the season for fruit. And yet the Lord Jesus knew that this tree, it looked like a tree that ought to bear fruit. It was a fig tree. But it was a barren tree. And the Lord Jesus cursed it. Well, that's how these false teachers are. Their rejection of Jesus and the revealed will of God leads to even greater and greater darkness. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Now in verse 13 of the book of Jude, he goes on to describe these false teachers. He says, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. And so they're wild waves of the sea. Wild waves of the sea. Let's go over to the Old Testament. There's one verse that I think is interesting to look at in connection with this. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And we'll begin reading let's start reading in verse 14. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me in the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry, but he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so here we have a passage where the Lord describes his graciousness, his work of redemption, coming to people who have struggled with sin, but he redeems them. But there are people who refuse the Redeemer. And to those, he says, there's not going to be any peace for you. Everybody's a sinner. But those who humble themselves and run to Jesus and confess our sin to him, he forgives us. And he is near to the contrite and lowly, but to the one who would walk in the pride of his own heart saying, I am good, I need no Savior outside of myself. There is no hope for that person. Here we have in verse 20 a description of that proud, arrogant person. The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. And so here's this picture of the wicked like the sea when it is all stirred up. It tosses up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Well, that is now what Jude points to in regard to these false teachers. They are wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Instead of experiencing what we read over in the book of Revelation, verse 4, that before God is a sea like a sea of what? A sea of glass. All is just perfectly calm before the throne of Almighty God. But the wicked, what are they like? They're like the sea, tossed and foam, constantly being stirred up. And notice the description here, casting up the foam of their own shame. That because they refuse to turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus, their sin just multiplies worse and worse and worse. As we read in Romans chapter 1, the Lord turns the people who would reject Messiah over to their own sin, judging their sin with turning them over to their depraved heart for even more and more sin. What a horrifying picture. But that's what these false teachers are. That's what they produce. They're like wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. And particularly, we've seen this whole matter of sexual immorality. But that is one of the hallmarks that accompanies these false teachers. And you see that back in verse 4. They pervert the grace of our God into what? Sensuality. It doesn't matter how you express your sexuality, they say. We see the same thing down in verse 7, that these false teachers follow in the path, just like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, homosexuality, lesbianism. And they serve as an example, Sodom and Gomorrah, by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So, verse 13, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. Now, the next description that Jude brings forth is the last one that we'll look at in verse 13. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. When people would travel in the olden days, many times, and particularly people when they would be at sea, where are we? A very important question. If you are a captain on a ship and you're sailing, if a storm comes and you can't, you don't know how fast you've traveled, you don't know exactly where you are, and the sea captain longs for the clouds to clear so that he can look at the stars and he can get his bearing. And there in the northern hemisphere is a star, the northern star. It's referred to as the pole star because that was the star that all of the other stars would be in relation to. And you could then figure out from the position of that star where you are on the earth. Well, these false teachers, they look like a star. You know, they talk about God. They say, I've got a message from God. But they're wandering stars. They're not a stationary reference point. They wander. Now, you know, they don't go zip, but you go, oh yeah, I know where I am now. But it's a misleading star. You can't really get your bearings from this star because they do not have their reference point as the living God, and they are leading other people astray. They're like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, blind guides leading the blind. And Jesus described that everybody was going to end up where? Falling into a pit. And so what does God want us to do in light of all of these descriptions? Well, he wants us to flee to the Lord Jesus and to say, I'm going to hold fast to the Good Shepherd. He wants us to be those who know the Word of God and feed upon the Word of God so that we will have discernment. Turn with me over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Here's a passage that calls upon us to be not only feeding upon Christ. Well, let's look at that first over in the book of 1 Peter, then we'll look at Hebrews. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And we'll get the context. We'll start reading in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love for the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. 4. All flesh is grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so the Lord calls upon us to be like newborn babes. And if you've ever been around a little baby, when it is time, you know, for supper, that's the only thing they can think about. You know, I want some milk. I'm ready to eat. And so God says that's how we ought to be. Longing for the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. To feed upon Christ. To grow up in Him. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, look at Hebrews chapter 5. So we want to feed upon Christ as He's revealed Himself in the Holy Scripture. And as we feed upon Christ, we want to grow up in Christ. Here is a chapter that talks about Melchizedek, and in verse 11, he says about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And one of the things that is so striking to me in this day and time is the utter lack of discernment among those who profess to be Christians. It is just astounding. How could we have close to 80% of the people in this country professing to be Christians and have the Supreme Court of the United States say that marriage is no longer, that for thousands of years, societies have said, in accordance with what God revealed from the beginning of creation, that marriage was between a man, a husband, and a woman, a wife. And with close to 80% of the people in this country professing to be a Christian, how can it be that we have a culture now that's, it's because those who profess to be Christians, if they do know Jesus, they are still babes and they have not been trained to distinguish good and evil. And so here is the call in Holy Scripture for us to feed upon Christ. We'll never outgrow the milk of the Word, but we want to add to our diet all of Holy Scripture and everything that the Lord Jesus teaches us about everything in life. And so we see verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are all the elementary things. And the church is confused about every one of those things in our day and time. And so the book of Jude, what a powerful and important message calling upon us to hold fast to Jesus, to feed upon His Word, to be growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging one another to hold fast to Christ. That's the last thing. Not only we ourselves, but turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Jude is a reminder to us of how much we need Jesus, we need the Word of God, and how we need to be encouraging one another to hold fast to Jesus. In verse 12 of Hebrews 3, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And so that's the message of the book of Jude. The Lord warns us, these false teachers are hidden reefs at your love feast as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. A barren, barren taste of hell. A life that is a taste of hell. That's what these false teachers have to offer. Oh, how we need Jesus to cling to Him, and to encourage one another to keep holding fast to Jesus. There's a lot of false teachers in this culture. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this powerful portion of Scripture, the book of Jude. And we ask, O Lord, that You would write upon our hearts this message, that we as individuals, as families, as a church family, Lord, would be renewed this night. To see the end of the road where these false teachers, they themselves are going, what they have, what they can offer, which is barrenness, a taste of hell in this life and hell itself in the life to come. Because, Lord, that's what I have and would only be able to offer left to myself. But how we praise You for Your amazing grace, for the work that You have done, are doing, and will do, to draw us unto Yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, granting us repentance and faith in Jesus according to Holy Scripture. And You are growing us up, feeding us, nurturing us by Your Spirit from the Word of God, that we might feed upon You, Lord Jesus, to bear fruit for Your praise. And we thank You, O Lord, that we not only are Your little lambs as individuals, but we have the joy of serving You together. And so, Lord, we pray that You would write these warnings upon our hearts and that we would take heed, that we would cling to Christ, We would not let false teachers lead us away from you, Lord Jesus. That we would be encouraging, exhorting one another day after day. Lord, we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.